AgNews Creative Renaissance podcasts are a series of interviews in which we ask thought leaders and innovators at the forefront of the marketing and communication industries six key questions. In this series, we explore the changing face of creativity as campaigns increasingly become holistic to cope with the multitude of platforms marketers now need to engage with their customers. This series of interviews is an educational initiative supported by the Australian Association of National Advertisers and the Australian Marketing Institute, and are created by On Communications in conjunction with Stellar Sound.
Welcome to this AdNews Creative Renaissance podcast series. I'm Peter Stevenson from On, and today we have the privilege of talking with Sir John Hegarty, Worldwide Creative Director of Bartle Bogle Hegarty, one of the world's most enduring and respected creative agencies. Good morning, Sir John, and welcome to Six Questions.
Good morning, Peter. Great to talk to you.
Where are we talking to you? Just to set the scene, where are you today?
Well, I'm just back from Mumbai. I was in India for the Big Indian Ad Festival in Goa Fest.
Yeah.
Now sitting in my office in rather grey London, actually.
Rather grey London. So physically you're in London, and who knows where the brain is at the moment?
Oh, God, it could be anywhere.
Look, what we wanted to talk about today and have a chat about with you is how creativity is changing. And having been in the business for a number of years, we've all seen lots of exciting changes, but we just seem to be seeing a lot of big changes right now. And creativity, in its essence, I suppose, now has to work in a lot of different ways across a lot of multiple platforms. And that's what we want to get your perspective on.
Well, I think, you know, people often say to you, well, what's the biggest change you've seen over the last sort of 27, 28 years since you founded BBH? And one of the biggest changes is that it is now a global business.
Yep.
That we, you know, the briefs that pass across my desk now have a global dimension to them, whereas, you know, when we started BBH, 90% of the briefs were purely for the UK.
Yep.
So that's one of the big changes. Obviously, that's with digital media coming along. But alongside of that, of course, you've got the technological revolution that's going on. In a way, you know, technology has always been a boost to creativity. You know, my constant remark is whoever invented the paintbrush made it much easier and much more involved to paint a kind of a really interesting picture. So technology has always been there for us. The problem we have today is coming at us so fast, we're not quite sure how to use it or how to engage with it. And that's something that we're just going to have to work harder at and, you know, experiment more and play more and, you know, just sort of say, well, it's more fun, so let's do more things.
It's exactly what you said. It's coming at us a million miles an hour. A lot of people are trying to figure out Twitter this, Twitter that. Lots of great opportunities within all of that. If you get too hung up about it, you'd never do anything.
I think we moved from, you know, we used to say we used to be in a sort of a learn and do culture. We're now in a do and learn culture. And I think you just have to engage with it as much as you possibly can. And in that way, experiment with it and then hopefully understand how to use it. I think the big danger today, though, is to assume that every media that appears is actually a media for advertising.
Yeah.
And I, you know, you often kind of, you know, so Twitter comes along and then you've got the advertising. Well, how can we get in on that? And maybe people don't want you to be in there.
And maybe it shouldn't be monetized.
Exactly. It's got nothing to do with it. I was reading a piece recently where someone said, you know, we don't go into pubs and try and occupy the space in pubs between somebody's conversation. They tell us to sod off.
Exactly.
They're having a private conversation. Go screw yourself. You know, stay out of my hair. So I think we've got to work out where advertising should and shouldn't be. And just because we could do it doesn't mean to say we should do it.
Some of those rules still apply in terms of, you know, you need to have a good insight, you need to have a good bit of strategic thinking, but you still need a great creative idea that connects emotionally.
I think that's the danger always, you know, going back to the quantity of technology that's coming at us, that suddenly you think just because you can use a piece of technology that therefore you're creative. And in a way, you know, if you look at the development of technology, it's always been sort of technologists have always been sort of the heroes to start with, and then suddenly works out that you've got to do something interesting. So, you know, Gutenberg invented movable type and revolutionized the way we could print books. Caxton was a great printer. But these were technologists of their time. They didn't write books. You know, after they'd done the Bible, somebody said, well, now what are you going to do? I suppose we're going to get a writer to write a book. So in the end, the creative people take over. Technologists are in command for a short period of time while it's all evolving and changing. And then we turn back to creative people.
Well, it's interesting. We've named this series Creative Renaissance because what we believe in... hats off to the channel planning and the media strategists because they give us what we believe is a potential to connect. But we really firmly believe that you still need a good, strong piece of creativity and an understanding of how to actually craft a piece of communication that can build conviction and generate response in that channel.
Certainly. I mean, I think that we all kind of talk a kind of new language and get excited about it. But ultimately, you know, there are some fundamentals that remain exactly the same.
Yeah.
Big, powerful ideas that connect with people are going to actually change the way they feel and think. And of course, you know, an idea isn't an idea until it's been executed.
Exactly.
It's a theory, you know. I say, well, I've got this great idea for... Well, okay, yeah, that sounds interesting. It isn't actually an idea until you've executed it.
That's it.
You know, it's that old thing we say, you know, advertising is 80% idea, but it's also 80% execution. So the fact that an idea can go across lots of media channels is brilliant.
Yeah.
But it's only a value if it can command respect in those channels, if it actually gets noticed in those channels. You know, it's very nice if it's all integrated beautifully, but if nobody sees it, what's the point of integration?
You guys are known worldwide for big, enduring brand ideas. And, but, you know, your mantra at the BBH is about effectiveness and creativity's role in delivering on that. But talking about, a very strong example, Johnny Walker, the Keep Walking idea has been around, 10 years now?
Yeah, indeed. Absolutely. 10 years. Yeah.
Scary. How's that evolved?
Well, I mean, I think, first of all, it's evolved as an idea. When we first executed it, we were very sort of mechanical in how we talked about it. We actually got examples of great walks, and we got, you know, people who kept walking and da-da-da. And obviously, Keep Walking is about progress. The great insight into that idea was that success isn't a place. Success is actually a constant movement. It's something you're continually doing. You never actually arrive. So, i.e. keep walking.
Yeah.
And, you know, so when we first started with that idea, very much it was just about trying to get people to understand the point we were making. Whereas now what we're doing with the idea is trying to inspire people to actually achieve some sort of attainment to keep walking, keep progress growing. So, you know, the idea has changed slightly in the way we express it. And also, you know, the medium that we can now use. Obviously, you know, traditionally it's been... you know, television and posters. And that's because, you know, many parts of the world where we're running work, you know, the advance in technology isn't as great as it may seem to be in certain other centers.
Exactly,
so, you know,
yeah.
If you're sitting in Japan, obviously, you know, everything's about technology. But if you're in say, Greece, for instance, it's less so.
Yep.
So you've got to play both those games. But, you know, I think the big change in that has been the way we've moved the idea, the way we express the idea.
Yeah.
But I would just say, you know, one campaign that really has changed is the Lynx Effect we do for Axe.
Yeah. That's been incredibly successful,
hasn't
it?
Yeah, the Axe Effect, we know. It's called Axe and Lynx in different parts. But that, you know, again, we started with television and print. But now, the kind of things we're doing with it, because obviously here we're talking to a very young audience who are really engaged with the technology. We have all sorts of things. So we have a games killer idea coming out of the States, which is actually a piece of programming that runs on MTV. We have mobile devices where you can chat a girl up on your mobile phone to get the Axe Effect. And so technology is actually playing a huge part in that campaign now, as well as, you know, the conventional above-the-line advertising. I think the big danger today is you just do lots of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you can do stuff, so you kind of do it. And somehow what a client wants, they want some feeling that somebody's in control.
Yeah.
That actually there is a sort of route map here. I'm not just doing stuff for the sake of it, but actually somebody has a big picture, a big plan about where this brand is going and how it's engaging with people. We have a number of clients who've come to us and said, look, I just cannot manage anymore all these stakeholders. I'm just confused. I mean, you know, the digital people come in and say this, you come in and say that, I've got design people saying this, I've got activation people saying that. Somebody has got to get a hold of this and come to me with a master plan. Because actually my job is getting more and more complicated. I've got many more things to do, as well as dealing with you know, my brand and the communication of the values of that brand. So, you know, everything's expanded. So somehow, you know, the big challenge for advertisers, I believe, agencies or whoever, is to sort of take control of that dialogue, take control of that program, so to speak, and go to the client and say, this is what you should be doing, this is how you should be doing it. When a client comes to you and says, right, here's my problem, here's what I've got to spend, here's what I'm trying to achieve, is for us to then say, right, how do we now engage with the potential consumer? How do we engage with your potential customer to actually have a meaningful conversation with them? And it, you know, that conversation's really got to start at the very, very front of the process. Even before you decide to go, maybe it might be, you know, 20% digital, this, that, or 20% above the line, whatever you might want to call it. You actually have an engagement plan. This is how we're going to engage with this consumer. And then from there, you move forward. And it's now a discipline that has to sort of really operate at the front of the process. But without that, you're just lost. You're just, you know, you're just in there, and all of a sudden everybody's fighting for what they think they should be doing. And it's not necessarily building to a bigger picture.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because I've been working in this area of 360 degree through the Ogilvy Group for 10 years in a different company now. But in originally getting everybody to the table to leave the egos at the door was a very big issue, and I know it still is these days for some people. But once you can achieve that, and you can start talking about it from a blank piece of paper perspective, you can get some really interesting solutions.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the other side to it, the other side of that coin, though, is there is a sort of, you know, I always say to people, do you have any prejudices? And they say, oh, no, I don't know. I come to this with a completely open mind. I say, bollocks.
Yeah.
You know, have prejudices. Mm. Believe in something. Argue for the case. Argue the case for it. We'll always kind of come back and say, well, actually, we don't think that's right. You've got to do this versus that. But in a way, I think if you're a creative person, you come to something saying, this is what I love doing.
Yeah.
I love doing print, or I love doing television, or I love doing digital, or I love doing viral, or I love to... Now, we love doing probably all of them, but you have a kind of passion for more of one thing than perhaps the other. So argue that case.
Yeah.
And argue the case for why it should be effective and why it should work. You know, the big danger today, I think, is that we ignore what I would call broadcast media.
Yeah.
Now, I don't mean that necessarily just to be television, print, posters, but in a sense, the ability to broadcast your message is fundamentally important to a brand. And I think that's being lost slightly in the debate today. There's a great quote, and people forget it, and it's one of the most important things you can say about advertising, and that is, a brand is not made just by the people who buy it, but also by the people who know about it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's about creating fame. And it was very interesting. I can't say who it was. I just had a conversation. We're in India about a big brand about to launch there. And the marketing director had absolutely, without knowing that question, had articulated, thinking that he could start by just, all I need to do is to talk to this direct audience. And he said, suddenly I realized that if I just do that, other people who may not buy the product that would add value to it would be missed out. So I've got to talk to those people as well. And we talk about this as, we articulate this as fame, about creating fame around a brand that enhances its value. And that's fundamentally important. And I feel that we're kind of losing that slightly. And everybody's rushing off down a corridor and down a little alleyway and doing their bit.
Yep.
And they're not taking the sort of the high ground.
You guys started this thing called Zag a couple of years ago, I read, and I looked at that and thought, okay, that's inventing things, that's taking creativity into brand invention and taking it anywhere. And is that the answer to where creativity is going to go in the next 10 years?
Well, I think that's one of the answers. I mean, I still fundamentally believe we're a kind of an advertising agency. Some might call you want to start calling you a communications agency or whatever it is.
Yep.
I think that's still fundamentally what our business is, and I think there's a fantastic future for it if we kind of, you know, remember to take the high ground because we've got to create fame for brands. That's fundamentally important. But I think alongside that, you know, we are living in a world today where the walls have come down, and all of a sudden you can start doing things that 10, 15, 20 years ago, you just forget it. Nobody would be interested in talking to you. And one of those for us certainly is about brand invention. And that's purely because, you know, clients are always, you know, concerned about costs and fees and stuff like that. And as a business, we have to come in every day and think of a new idea. This is the most relentlessly creative industry you can ever be in. So it's very demanding and very exciting. But alongside that, we want to put our creativity into things which kind of maybe have a longer lasting value and that can pay us back whilst we're, you know, looking at other revenue streams that are being sort of tightened and being cut all the time.
We actually come back to where we started, which is it's about experimenting, it's about learning, and it's about sort of taking the, not taking the hands totally off the wheel, but you know, sort of being prepared to let go a little bit, which is what our consumers are wanting from brands these days.
I think they are, but I think they want, I think consumers also want to be inspired. You know, I think that the danger in all of this kind of, oh, it's a conversation, it's like that. Well, of course, yes. You know, we've always believed it was that. You know, this idea that somehow, even we talk about it, about, oh, it's about engaging the consumer, not interrupt. Well, we've always believed that. Yeah. You know, you go back to Bill Birnbach, that's what he was saying. Let's have a conversation with the consumer. But I think we've got to be careful that we are also there to inspire the consumer.
Yep.
And I think in a lot of these kind of, you know, conversations that you hear people having, and they say, this is the future of the business, and we've got to be, you know, we're a partner to the consumer. Yeah, I get all that. Mm. But actually, they want to be inspired.
Yeah.
And that's what's important.
And that's what,
and that's what creativity is about, inspiring people to come to something.
Yeah, and that's what, that's a fantastic note to leave it on. So, John, I really, really thank you for your time. It's been great to connect and to hook up today and have this conversation.
Peter, great talk.
Thank you very much. Okay, bye.
The Ad News podcast series is an initiative from On Communications and Stellar Sound. Ad News is Australia's top-selling advertising, marketing and media magazine. Visit oncom.com.au to register for our free fortnightly review trends newsletter. That's oncom.com.au.